Blog Talk Radio.
What do you know? What do you know? What do you know?
The birds and the bees are wise to the light.
What do you know?
So they took to the trees and took to the sky.
What do you know?
On top of the chain and safe from the rain.
What do you know?
Would you know about the ways of the underside?
What do you know?
I bought a hot shot jet from an old man in Guinea.
What do you know?
Cause they're hip to the moon and hip to the light.
What do you know?
And yep, but you ask cause you ain't got a penny.
What do you know?
Don't you know about the waves on the underside?
What do you know?
In two perfect ways in the night.
What do you know?
One crashes on my left and one on my right. It's all fire and brimstone, baby, so let's go outside.
What do you know?
It's all fire and brimstone, baby. I got my brand new pistol, baby.
What do you know?
Jovovich, Darb.
What is?
Seriously. The song, the intro, you text me and asked me what the intro was. And
oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's Mila Jovovich, and I can't remember. I remember just liking the song and being like, hey, that would be cool for, like, an opening. And I think that's what happened. Maybe someone suggested it to me.
I like it.
I remember. Hey, man, I dig it, too. I mean, I like the Great on Square opening, but it kind of doesn't really fit with what we do anymore, you know what I mean?
I guess. We're back and forth.
Yes.
I don't know that we've changed that much.
Well,
yeah.
Well, well, I haven't, needless to say. So, anyway, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I think. Yeah, I'm okay. I had a pretty rough week. So I know it seems like every week is pretty shitty, but it's sort of like Office Space, where the main character is sitting in the psychiatrist's office, and He goes, every day is progressively worse than the previous day. So that means that every single day you see me is on the worst day of my life. And the psychiatrist kind of looks at him and goes, that's pretty messed up, dude. You know? So actually, no, the guy wasn't a psychiatrist. He was a hypnotist. I remember that. He was definitely a hypnotist. So, you know. So anyway, all right. What has annoyed you this week? Do you want to share? Do you want to talk about it? Let's talk about
it. Roy Moore has annoyed me this week.
We're going to talk about that.
I'm sorry?
I said, well, we're going to talk about that.
Come on,
beliefs and how they inform actions. Of course, that's going to come up tonight.
Indeed.
It was in the show's description. I know we didn't talk about it because we talked about Mr. Hicks and, you know, the tragic shooting in Chapel Hill. And we're going to definitely talk about that, too. But tell me why, we can just start off with the Alabama thing, because that actually annoyed the shit out of me, too. So tell me why Ray Moore annoyed you. I mean, I could already guess, but I don't know if everyone else knows who Ray Moore is or why he probably annoyed you.
Roy is a judge in Alabama, in case you're not acquainted with his charming self. He lost his job a few years ago because he refused to take a Ten Commandments monument out of his public space, and he stood firm on that and got removed from office. But then he got re-elected by people who love him, and now he's back. So
he's like a state Supreme Court judge, isn't he?
Well, yeah, he's the judge in Alabama who's
I mean, his actual job now is that he's a state Supreme Court justice in Alabama.
Yes, and so he's decided to stand on principle, and after Judge Kelly, whose last name I can't remember, like almost every federal judge before her, ruled that banning gay people from getting married is unconstitutional, and she did that very effectively and wrote a really interesting opinion about it. And like many of these things, as you know, this has happened a lot recently. And Roy decided that he didn't like that. And so he was going to write a letter basically to all the judges in the state saying that he expected that they would refuse to perform marriages. So he's breaking federal law pretty much at this point, or at least a federal court ruling. And he's trying to say that, I mean, I was just listening to an interview with him, actually, with a newscaster who's pinning him to the wall rather effectively. And he's really reaching. He's trying so hard to say that it has nothing to do with his personal beliefs. It has to do with the federal courts not having jurisdiction in the state. Which is wrong. He's a judge. He ought to know. It's very clear in the Constitution that if something is designated as a right, or, you know, a federal ruling that vacates your state ruling because it's unconstitutional, you kind of have to abide by that. That's the point of the U.S. Supreme Court, to interpret the law. And he's now trying to say that they can't do that. And weirdly, he's had some traction. A few judges, a few counties have shut down entirely and not performed any marriages of any kind in an attempt to piss him off. And quite a few are just doing it anyway because they know he's insane. And then there are some that have just refused to do same-sex marriages. So it just kind of depends on what county you're in. J.T. Eberhard has a decent sort of rundown of who is who's doing what and how that's going moment by moment. There's a great photo of and I don't know if you've seen it. There's a woman who I don't know if she's Justice of the Peace. She's someone that can officiate weddings, and she's standing outside the courthouse
yes,
with a sign, a sandwich board that says, yes, I will marry you. And, you know, the price is two hugs. She's very sweet. She has a little, like, sign and a couple balloons. And it's really lovely. I'm sure the people approaching the courthouse in that extremely hostile environment are quite happy to see that person. So, anyway,
you know,
that's why Roy Moore is pissing me off.
Yeah, I mean, it's really weird to me how someone can like, I don't know, like, when you're standing on principles that directly discriminate against other people and you possess the power to, I mean, that's the thing. He could come out and basically say, look, I don't agree with this. This isn't, and other judges have actually said that, like, on a personal level. I've seen judges that were elected by, like, or that were appointed by George W. Bush, who are Republican or, like, inside the Republican flock, who are going, I don't personally agree with this, but the law is pretty freaking clear, and the precedent set by the Supreme Court says that banning gay marriage is unconstitutional, and regardless of how I personally feel about it, the state does not have the right to discriminate against these people. And it's sort of twofold with fundamentalist Christians, usually the ones who follow, like, the Tea Party. You know, establishment Republicans, I at least give some of them credit, because some of them are very consistent when it comes to their feelings about the government. They will, you know, basically say government doesn't, you know, the government doesn't have the right to tell you what you can or can't do in your bedroom. You know, and I've seen some that have been fairly consistent with regard to that ideology. The problem is that, I mean, it takes some serious brass balls to stand up and talk about how horrible the government is and how government overreach is such a problem, and then turn around and use the government to discriminate against a group of minorities. You know,
yep,
John
yeah.
Stewart,
well,
actually,
that's not what they're doing. They're not doing that. They're protecting marriage or something. I don't know. They're afraid for their own marital safety. Sorry.
I mean,
I've
always
to
told
even,
people if,
yeah.
That, yeah, if your marriage has problems because gay people are getting hitched, gay people are not the problem.
No, they're not. You have much more serious problems, for sure.
Yeah, there's a lot more at sort of play there than gay marriage. I mean, that's so weird. Like, if my neighbors get married, that has nothing to do with my marriage or my life. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And, you know, going back to the point, one of the issues, biggest issues I have is that with regard to it being twofold, they want to act like they're the ones being persecuted because other people are allowed to do this thing that they disagree with that has absolutely no effect on them. Like, it's either an extreme amount of cognitive dissonance, which probably is the majority, or they fundamentally believe that when other people have rights similar to theirs, that creates persecution against them.
I think people truly believe that. I think that there's a strange, we've all heard this narrative. This is being forced on me. It's being shoved down my throat. It's being, I mean, of course, that one is one of my favorites.
It's funny
and
that they always think that,
really,
like, this is being pushed through and shoved down my throat. And, like, it's all these, like, you know, sexual
yeah.
euphemisms that kind of make the rest of us
sexual
laugh,
sounding.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, and I've heard people say they, you know, they're being violated. The marriage is being violated, degraded. There's, I mean, just, it's all of this weird, it's based in nothing. You ask them why or how, and you usually get some really poor history of marriage as an institution, or you
yeah.
get, you know, God is angry, that kind of thing. Yeah, the word tyranny is being thrown around a lot, too. And it's amazing to me that people, the government granting other people rights, the people that have nothing to do with you, rights that won't affect you in reality. It might, your mind is clearly affected by this, but in reality, like, your ability to get married, but your marriage is the same. There's been no legal changes to it. That somehow gets transferred into, in their brain, as tyranny of the state against them somehow. Like, I'm really...
It's really weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really hard to... I really try hard to empathize with people I don't agree with, because I think one of the only ways you can get communication going and change anything that's going on is not by slamming the pulpit and screaming and calling everyone an idiot, although there are times and places for both raising your voice and whatever. But you know what I'm saying? Like, when you try to engage in dialogue with people in hopes of raising them. What'd you say?
I said I was about to get sad, but yeah, go ahead.
You know,
you're right.
There are times and places for it, but when you're trying to engage someone and hopefully reach them and understand what they're saying to you, I mean, it's kind of important that we forget that part. It's not just I'm trying to convince this person of what I want them to believe and what I think is right, but it also helps to try to understand where that person is coming from. And when it comes to this issue, I can't understand. I cannot understand why it is so threatening and terrifying and scary. It should nothing. It doesn't make any sense. And so it's, you know, I've my empathetic feelers only go out so far, and I just cannot relate to this paralyzing fear of the homosexual. I mean,
unlike other forms of privilege, usually there's pushback from the majority when it comes to receding, you know, their privilege so that you can sort of spread around a more equal form of opportunity. They don't like that because they don't want to end up being, in some cases I've heard people argue they don't want to end up being marginalized, which I find kind of ironic. It's like, oh, you don't want to end up being marginalized like the people that you're currently marginalizing, number one.
I want them to be marginalized, but not you.
Yeah.
If you can't do that to them, then it's happening to you by default.
Right, and then so the other side of that coin is that if people feel a certain connection to their religion, they seem to believe that they have a responsibility to protect it. The problem is, and this is a problem I've run into with a lot of people, they don't seem to understand that there are quite a few of us who do not believe the way that they do, and statements about how their religion is the true religion mean absolutely nothing to people like you and people like me and, you know, people who follow different religions and, you know, people who believe in other kind of spiritual woo-woo or none at all or whatever. Like, those things don't mean anything to people like us. And they only mean something to the people inside of that subgroup. So,
right, and there are plenty of different Christians who don't feel like that at all. So they can't even, you know, they can't say they speak for the majority of anybody.
Right, right. You're absolutely right. I mean, that, you know, some Episcopalians released a statement. I can't remember where it was. It wasn't Washington, because that would be like a Washington thing to do. But I think it was actually in Kansas that they, you know, these Episcopalian, you know, clergymen, if you will, got together and were basically like, hey, our LGBT family members and friends enrich our lives and enrich our communities, and we need to treat them with respect, the same respect that we would expect to be treated with if we were the minority. And if we were being discriminated against, that we would want other people to stand up for us. And, you know, and there are quite a few Christians that I talk to who have no problem. They're like, no, I don't care. Like, that doesn't bother me at all. I mean, you know, and I have a buddy of mine who is very, very religious. And when we talk about it, he goes, look, dude, whatever goes on, he's like, their sins, the way he phrased it is their sins are between them and God. My sins are between me and God. It's like, it's nobody else's business. Nobody else's business. Definitely not the state's, you know, responsibility to try to police everybody's little sins, you know. And, which I agree with, actually. I'm like, yeah,
well,
when I was a Christian, I would agree with you.
The whole idea of sinning is...
Well, no. Outside of obvious philosophical constraints, like, I don't need to add a disclaimer every single time I talk in the context of having a discussion with a Christian.
No.
and then try to, yeah, and then try to sort of sympathize or, you know, understand their position, because I used to be a Christian, and I do understand the way that many of them feel, or, you know, I mean, I really do. But my point is that I know a lot of people who were Christians who were like, I don't care. Like, it's none of my business. They can do whatever they want. And if they want to be as unhappy as every other married couple, then, you know, more power to them. One of the things I don't like about this conversation, though, is that you have these libertarians coming out of the woodwork. And I've actually even heard Matt Dillahunty on the Atheist Experience make this argument. You know, he's like, well, I've heard some people say that there's this legitimate argument about how the government shouldn't be involved in marriage. And I kind of roll my eyes, and I'm like, the government has to be involved in marriage because people accrue property together, and marriage is a property arrangement. It's a contractual property agreement, and sometimes there are also children attached to that property agreement. That, not that the children themselves are property, you understand, the state doesn't view it that way. The government does, and the legal arm, legally, it's not seen that way. But since children then become attached to the original property agreement, okay, now we have to decide what's going to happen with the children, all right? So you need a contractual thing in place, and a set of rules that govern that contractual agreement, in order to not throw the courts into turmoil with everybody's little personal contracts, you know, that they want to come up with. I mean, so I don't buy the argument that the government shouldn't be involved in marriage. Marriage, with regard to the current state of capitalism and the current state of property rights, is, you know, absolutely a logical sort of thing to have. I don't know any first world nation that doesn't have a similar contractual agreement. In fact, pretty much every country around the world has a contractual agreement that's, between men and women. All we're doing is now we're saying that men and women get to have the same contractual agreement. It's not a big deal. Like, it's really not. Like, it doesn't affect you. It doesn't harm your life. It literally has no effects, you know, on how much of a Christian you are, how much you love Jesus, whether or not you do or don't vote Republican. I mean, it just doesn't. Like,
irrelevant. My kids are going to be taught it in school, and I think, you know, your kids are probably already going to school with somebody who has gay parents. I mean, if they aren't, there are going to be some. And so the idea that if they're not married, the children will never know about it makes no sense, because they are still together. They're still raising children. They're still a family. They're still all that. I mean, they don't pop into existence in the public, you know, like they're not suddenly come into our dimension and, you know, wave their wedding ring in front of this poor child's face. I don't even understand that. It makes no sense to me.
Can I go off on a bit of a tangent here?
Sure.
So a lot of this actually comes from Protestantism, right? Like, I grew up Catholic, and I know that you went to Catholic school. We both did. And interestingly enough, Catholicism is, you know, sort of one of those things where they learn a lot from some of their earlier mistakes, rather. And to kind of unpack this, if you will, the argument is that, because Protestantism is relatively young, and not to say that, for example, you know, historically, literacy owes a lot of its roots to Protestantism, specifically with regard to Western Europe. But Protestantism in America specifically is this very ignorant, very, sort of closed-minded worldview that believes that if you can protect children from all of these things that, you know, might quote-unquote tempt them, then you can essentially save them from the majority of sins, therefore they can end up actually going to heaven. The problem with that is that that might have worked 200 years ago when you had a community of, you know, a little small schoolhouse where, you know, the 5 or 6 or 10 local families sent their 3 and 4 children you know, to once a week. And that was the only outside interaction the kids really had with anybody. But you can't do that now. There's too much information available on the internet. Social media is too big of a deal. You know, kids have phones with, you know, access to all, you know, most of human knowledge in their hands at any one time. Like you pointed out, they're going to have gay friends. They're going to have, you know, friends who have gay parents, you know, or they're going to, you know, the kids are going to talk about their gay relatives. I mean, these are all things that are going to happen and, you know, and are happening now. So the idea that you can somehow shield your children from the realities of the world is completely, completely absurd. Furthermore, the idea that if you don't expose them to these things, that they'll magically somehow become these things is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's
it's completely
fantasy,
and totally ridiculous.
Crazy.
And what it demonstrates is that you are more afraid of your child acquiring knowledge and acquiring life experiences and being exposed to people who might be different than them. You are more afraid of, you know, of that than not allowing them or you know, than allowing them to, you know, to remain ignorant. I mean, that's what completely and totally blows my mind. Like you want your children to be completely and totally ignorant to the realities of the world, because you're afraid that they might go to hell. Like that's so crazy to me. Like that whole idea is so foreign to me. I don't even understand it. I wasn't taught that in Catholicism, by the way. Like I was taught that you know, that knowledge and you know, an investigation, and I wouldn't necessarily say skepticism, but you know, but that education was a you know, a staple of how to make God happy. Like God wanted you to be educated. You know what I mean?
Of course. Yeah.
He didn't want you to be a bumbling idiot. You know? Yeah. I mean, that was pretty much fundamental part of that. You know, Moore's whole thing, by the way, going back to this deal on Alabama, his whole point, the only reason why he's making any of this, it has nothing to do with the law. It has nothing to do with legality. It has nothing to do with the spirit of the law. It has to do with what he personally believes. The
yes,
law,
although he keeps denying that, yes.
Of course he keeps denying it. And I remember this idiot, too, because he's, you know, he got angry. I mean, visibly angry, standing out, you know, in front of the courthouse talking about, you know, we want our country back and you can't take this from me and we'll stand up for God. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, really? Your God, the dude who created the freaking universe and the atom, is so petty that he wants you to stand outside of a fucking concrete building and scream because your concrete statue doesn't get to stay there because it violates the Constitution.
Yeah,
really?
I know. I can't.
I mean,
yeah,
I'm always impressed, you know, I'm always impressed that, you know, that people's interpretation of God tends to be as petty, as ignorant, and as pathetic as they are. Or, in reverse, tends to be as smart and humble and caring as they are.
Funny how that works.
I know, it's really strange. It's almost like you're given this vague concept of something and then you project yourself into it and now all of a sudden you have a deity. I know, it's really
almost
weird. Like, I don't get how that is.
It's almost like that. Yeah, you're right.
So, all right, so you want to talk about Hicks. Okay, yeah, let's talk about Hicks. For one, and I really want to clarify this before we get started. There's not enough information, to be honest, Darb, I think we can agree on this. There's not enough information at this point for you and I to, in terms of being good skeptics, to do anything other than speculate.
No, we can't. Absolutely not. No. The cops have said that they have known about this sort of ongoing parking dispute, and that's the main thing they named that they know of in this conflict. Of course,
right.
Have we even said what we're talking about?
Yeah. So Craig Stephen Hicks is the dude who shot three young Muslim students, and I'm not going to try to say their names because I don't want to butcher them, but yeah, he basically shot them all of them in the head. I mean, they were like between like 19 and 24 years old. I think that the younger sister was 19. I think that the wife was 23, and I think that the husband was 24. So, you know,
sounds about right.
Fred Stephen Hicks apparently had some, you know, apparently had actually, you know, liked the atheist experience on Facebook. You know, apparently posted some statement on Facebook about, you know, if you want me to stop criticizing your religion, you know, then stop, you know, trying to force it down, you know, down my throat or something to that effect. You know, I didn't start this, you did, blah, blah, blah. I mean, pretty normal stuff that you hear from atheists, right? Like, and I don't mean that condescending. I mean, literally, that's common stuff that you hear from people who realize that there are others out there who agree with them, who don't believe the same things. Like, you know, those sort of normal kind of elementary and introductory arguments to atheism that have been regurgitated hundreds of times, right?
Yeah, although, so, I mean, there's nothing wrong with saying that, you know, there would be no need for atheism if religion weren't such a big thing. It's a reactionary position on a single issue as far as just atheism goes. And there's nothing wrong with saying
right.
that. It's true. But I don't, I mean, you started it. It doesn't really seem like much of a zinger. But
yeah,
I understand
I mean,
that
really
you had stuff like that.
So he had stuff like that, and that the parents of these the boy and the girl, the husband and the young sister, are apparently saying that this was motivated by hate. Very well could have been. I'm not really going to comment on that. Disbelieving in something does not exclude you from having hatred about other things or despising other things. There are plenty of things that I sincerely dislike. I would even go so far as to say that I hate them. I, you know, absolutely hate people who refuse to vaccinate their kids because they believe that vaccines cause autism. You know, I absolutely despise those people. And now I would obviously never cause them harm because I don't think that that number one, it goes against everything I believe philosophically, but number two, it obviously wouldn't accomplish anything. You know, so the act of disliking something or hating something is not necessarily a sort of call to cause harm to someone, but they're calling it a hate crime, and the statutes have, you know, the federal statutes that define hate crime, you know, basically say that a crime that was committed with a hint of sort of discriminatory behavior. Again, I don't know if that's what's going on in his head. Seems like he was going through a divorce. This thing had been going on for a while. From what I've also read, and correct me if I'm wrong, he was a veteran, right? Or did I get that wrong?
I actually haven't read that, so I can't say if you have it wrong or right. That hasn't come up in anything I've been reading about him.
Okay, hold on. I'm actually going to pull this up while we continue to talk about it, because I'm pretty sure I remember reading that. Hold on. Of course, the first thing that I, you know, that I pull up is from Talking Points Memo, and
Well, while you're looking that up,
I just threw it into Google. Yeah, you go ahead. You go ahead. I just threw it into Google, so let me see if I can verify that.
I find, so we have a couple of issues coming on here. First, we have a wave of a certain kind of religious person, you know, showing up in this weird gloaty fashion and going, see, we told you atheism leads to violence. That's really, I don't understand that at all. Because, first of all, you're gloating over the deaths of three people. And then you also, we have no idea why this happened, but let's say that so as we've said before many times, atheism is a single position and a single issue. It's a little hard to say it drove you, you know, it's like saying, I hate cilantro and it caused me to slash my neighbor's tires. And Nobody's claiming cilantro has any effect on your moral life, so it's not an exact equivalent comparison, because people say, well, without believing in God, you can have it. The whole secular morality thing is ridiculous, but the idea that you, that this argument that you can't have, that no one has morality without their particular God, is ridiculous. But also, I've noticed this flurry of atheists coming out and actually using the No Two Scotsmen fallacy, which is just, oh, Jared, wow. It just, it makes my eye twitch every time I see it. Well, he wasn't really an atheist. Are you kidding? Let's just take a moment. We have that thing happening. And then we also have this sort of defensive thing. Atheism isn't a movement. It's not an ideology. It's true that atheism, just as I'm an atheist, just means I don't hold God beliefs. But within, there are certainly groups of people within atheism that hold, you know, Atheism Plus has a whole list of stuff. They say, like, this is what we believe. And I'm not saying he was considered
absolutely
himself that. I'm just saying, you can't say, there's nothing. Yes, there is. There are people that form subgroups that sort of fall under this larger umbrella of we don't believe in deities. And they often come together to do things like, you know, fight for marriage equality, say, or whatever. A lot of secular humanists intersect here, and they care about justice for certain things, and they come together to say it's really wrong to do, you know, it's wrong to be flogging some guy for insulting his father and blogging about the prophet or whatever. That not believing in a God doesn't mean that you would necessarily think that, but you can't pretend like there aren't groups that are sort of coherent and within under the umbrella of atheism that have ideologies attached to them. Of course there are. But there's no reason
to yell and
scream.
You're being a lot nicer about it than I would.
Well, there's no reason to yell and scream about, you know, he wasn't a real atheist. There's no reason to, of course, atheism itself doesn't cause violence. That's ridiculous. It doesn't, there's no way to draw a line between this and that. But if you are part of a group that has demonized religious people, and there, of course, there are groups out there. But see, then you can see how if you get this us and them thing up and you get yourself worked up and you already have some awful thing going on that predisposes you to violence, sure. We have talked about this before at length, about how people start off with whatever, you know, the research says, people start off with whatever problems they have and they grab on to whatever ideology seems to stick, which is why Elliot Rodgers was a homicidal person first and a misogynist second. But he happened to grab onto
right.
that stuff because he had a lot of
right.
things that he could hang on there. And so,
right.
of course, you can attach yourself to anything and say, my crazy is completely justified by this, or it just feels right to you, or whatever. It feels silly to me to pretend like there's no such thing as a violent atheist. Of course there are such things as a violent... That's ridiculous.
Because people...
Of course there are.
Because people are
people
violent.
Are
I mean,
violent.
And by the way,
yeah.
I want to go ahead and sort of recant what I said earlier. I couldn't find any evidence whatsoever that suggested that he was a veteran. I apologize for that. That was a misstatement on my part. I can't remember where I read that, but I distinctly recall reading that from a news site somewhere today, a legitimate news source today. So couldn't find it. It's completely and totally irrelevant. It doesn't matter. You're absolutely right that atheists can be violent. Anytime I see the statistic about how, you know, atheists are, you know, make up like less than 1% of the prison population, I roll my fucking eyes. If this country was 75% non-believer, 75% atheist, the majority of people in prison would be atheists. I mean, that one thing doesn't have anything to do with the other. You know, with regard to developing belief systems, the majority of people do not commit crimes because of, you know, their religious beliefs. The majority of people, you know, commit crimes because of opportunity, because of selfishness and greed, and because of their environment, and because of how they were brought up, and because of a lack of, you know, lack of community and personal social structure. you know, oftentimes things that come from childhood, like, you know, criminology is a, you know, is a hotly studied and debated topic for a reason. And when we had Jeremiah on the show to talk about, you know, to because you and I talked about the catalyst model, and we talked about Elliot Rodgers, and we basically said that the majority of people got it wrong, that they were blaming, you know, the ideology that Elliot Rodgers followed instead of the, you know, the obvious genetic and you know, environmental problems that resulted in, you know, in his mental condition. You know, I fail to see why that's not going to be the same thing here. My only problem with this is that it's never applied fairly or evenly. I mean, at what point do you decide that an ideology played a role in whether or not someone manifested those beliefs into action that caused harm to other individuals? Like, at what point do you decide that was actually the case?
Well, yeah, you know, because with regard to, you have people who absolutely believe that abortion is murder. And that doctors who are performing abortions are murdering babies every single day. But most of those people do not take a rifle and shoot those doctors in their homes, in their kitchen.
Right.
But some of them do. So
a few of them.
Yes, yeah, very, very few. But, you know, there also is a conversation to be had about where... If I am part of a group that has an ideology, let's say, let's say you belong to an online atheist forum, and they have, you know, other stuff that's sort of attached onto there, which often happens, social justice things, you know, other things that sort of political things that go along with that. If you're going to be part of a group, isn't it wise to think about what your ideology is and how it's presented? Wouldn't it be a good idea to think to yourself, this is not a way to prevent someone who's going to kill people from killing people, but just as a, wouldn't you want your group to have as few whack job hooks to hang crazy stuff on as possible? And a lot of that comes from...
Yes.
Is your group about what you're against and who are your enemies, or is it about what you're for and what would you like to see happen and how you would like to change things for the better? Those two seem like they're about the same thing, but they're not. They are not. And both of us have run into other atheists who believe that religious people are all stupid or religious people are all enemies. That to me is so foreign. I can't even understand why you would demonize most of the world and decide that they're your enemy.
Well, I mean, and that's kind of the thing. We brought up, you know, atheist subgroups. Like, there's a reason why the same people peddling the same bullshit are invited to the same conventions to give the same speeches every single year repeatedly. And those people are usually only giving speeches to one group. And when I've been to some of these conventions before, I've had people tell me, I've been coming to these for 10 years and nothing ever changes. It's the exact same statements just said in a different way. Like, that's it. The exact same arguments given in a different way. You know, some of these people got popular because of YouTube. Some of them got popular because of their blogs. But they're not saying anything that I haven't heard before. You know?
Right.
And they go because of the community. Like, they go because they're used to being inside of that sort of convention world. Like with any conventions, like with anime conventions or with comic conventions or anything. Like, you know, you're going for the, you know, for the community of people who agree with you. The problem is that if you believe that being inside of a community that identifies itself by something that it doesn't believe in and then talks about things that people should believe in, that that's not an ideology, then I'm sorry. We don't agree on what an ideology is. And most linguists probably wouldn't agree on what ideology.
Yeah.
They would agree with me. They probably wouldn't agree with you.
You're just riding your heel into the definition of ideology, because you're not going to an atheist convention and spending the whole time talking about, I don't believe in God, do you? No. You see any good evidence? No. No, there are a bunch of other stuff that you should, you know, we're addressing this and we're talking about positive that. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with having a community. And by the way,
I agree.
I don't know how clear I was about this, but I need to be really clear. There is no, in no sense am I blaming whatever atheist group he was. I don't even know if it had anything to do with it. We are only talking about this. And even if it did for hit that one person, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean that atheism is bad. It doesn't mean that it causes people to be naughty. It doesn't mean that, you know, all of that shit should be obvious. But I know there are sensitive people. People would feel very sensitive about this issue. But I think that as I'm a skeptic first. And I want to be able to look at the stuff that I believe and look at it critically and say, is this a good idea? Do I know why I think this? Should I be hanging my hat on that thing? Or maybe I don't want to be part of this thing. I think we should all be looking at that anyway. And the fewest nutball enemy-making things we can have, the better off I think we are. But that doesn't mean that I think, even if he was part of it, like, you know, we hate everyone atheist group, that doesn't mean that that made him shoot the neighbors. There's just no line to be drawn between, you know, because there are a whole lot of other people in that group who aren't shooting the neighbors. And so I just, this is
there's
all
nothing inside of the group.
Having
but,
a conversation.
But that's the thing, and I hate to interrupt. There's nothing inside of, for one, atheism is the only, and I don't even really self-identify as an atheist anymore. Like, I don't really even tell people I'm an atheist. Not because I'm ashamed by any stretch of the imagination. I just don't like identifying myself by something I don't believe in. You know, normally, when people ask me if I go to church, I say no. And then they say, do you believe in God? And I say no. And they say, so you're an atheist? And usually I say, by definition of the word, yeah. And I kind of leave it at that. And if they want to continue the conversation, then we have a discussion about it.
Why do you
equivocate
about that?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's completely and totally irrelevant. It doesn't matter. If I'm going to say in one hand that atheism does not define my worldview, which it doesn't, and it doesn't inform my morality, and it doesn't inform my belief system, and it doesn't inform my ethics, and it doesn't inform my life, really, in any way, then I can't, in the other hand, immediately identify myself as, you know, as one when we're talking about things that involve outside or separate ideologies. I mean, when someone says that I don't agree with gay marriage because I'm a Christian, and if I say, well, I'm an atheist and I disagree with you, it's very hard for me to, especially for having a, which I have, and I think earlier in the show I kind of made it sound like that I just didn't talk to those people, didn't, you know, it's just like, oh, fuck you. It's not really like that. If someone's rational and reasonable and wants to have a conversation about it, I obviously don't mind engaging them. And if I just say, well, I'm an atheist and I don't agree with you, I've given them more than enough reason to dismiss whatever I have to say, because they're going to say, well, you know, you're a reprobate and, you know, you're morally defunct. You have, you know, you have no morality. You don't believe in God. You know, you are literally worse than gay people. So,
but,
and I've had that happen before. But when I don't identify as that, and I try to get to them on their level and try to figure out exactly why they have a problem with homosexuality, but they don't have a problem with all these other things that are in the Bible that are actually a lot more serious. There's this weird belief in Protestantism, and I never got this in Catholicism, that you know, that all sins are created equal, which is completely, totally laughable, because that's not even remotely close to being true. In any theological sense of the phrase, it is not true. You know, homosexuality, in terms of the Bible, really isn't even that big of a deal, and it's, you know, not identified as really being, like, a major problem. So when I try to get to people on their level, I want to kind of understand where they're coming from so that way I can educate them properly. At the end of that conversation, if they ask me, you know, where I go to church, that's happened. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, educate them on their own religion. Like, I'm sorry, but most people that's just a simple fact. Most people who believe things either believe them because it sounds good on the surface, believe them because they have, like, a very small amount of understanding, you know, and the number of people who actually genuinely believe... Yes, genuinely believe things for good, valid, educated reasons, those people are very few and far between. And most of those people that I talk to have absolutely no problem with gay marriage, and they laugh at people who are, you know, other Christians who are angry about gay marriage. So there's no reason for me to identify as an atheist when I'm having a conversation, I'm attempting to change someone's mind who, number one, already disagrees with me, and if I give them more fuel to throw on the fire, they're going to take it. Because I already have to, you know, to correct one misunderstanding, I'm not going to try to, you know, have to spend my time correcting two.
Oh, I can't,
you know,
hear it, but it bums me out because so the example you gave was a direct question, are you an atheist? And you're it sounds like you're equivocating. The reason it bums me out is
I'm not.
You and I have the same feeling about...
But I'm not.
About,
I just got through explaining how I'm not.
No,
I'm not. If someone asks me, I'm not going to lie to them. I'm going to say yes. The
okay.
issue is I don't give them any reason to think that I am. I'm not ashamed at all. It depends on what I'm trying to accomplish.
Okay, I
it
totally
all
understand.
Depends on
and
what
as
I'm
you
trying
know,
to
yes, and as you know, I'm all for trying as hard as you can to communicate with people. So obviously, I don't ever say, you know, when someone says, "Are you an atheist?" I answer that question unless I can't even think of a time, but. I don't have a workplace right now because I stay at home with my kid. I have avoided religious and political conversations at work at places that I've worked because I think that's appropriate to do. But when it comes to, you know, are you an atheist? That's sometimes the we've had this conversation about feminists. I know a lot of people who are trying to shed, you know, they don't call themselves a feminist anymore, even though what feminism means, if you look it up, is just that you believe that women should be treated equally. So most people are feminists unless they're, you know, kind of wacky in some other way. But people don't like the word because they're a bunch of people who are unreasonable and parading around saying that all penetration is rape and yada, bada, ba. And so they're like, oh, well, those people are assholes. And, you know, they're the kind of people who say, if you do this or don't do that, then you're not a feminist. Feminism's it's pretty basic, and I refuse to let it be co-opted by people who are inventing their own definition. And so I part with a lot of people that I agree with on a lot of other things on issues like this. And so I do use the word atheist, and the reason I do, a lot of the time, I don't just, like, get in somebody, well, you can imagine me, I don't get in someone's face and go, oh, well, I'm an atheist, what do you think about that? But
I definitely see you doing that.
Yeah,
wearing your fedora and everything. Yeah, I could see
yeah.
that happening.
So yeah, so the reason I use it is, and it's often not at the beginning of the conversation, is because if I've established some sort of rapport with a person, and they realize halfway through that I'm not a terrible person at all, as far as they can tell, and I seem to be respectful to them, if not their beliefs, I certainly make every effort to be respectful to them and treat them with dignity. And that I have compassion, and I'm a human being. And then if they also hear I'm an atheist, that's helpful to me anyway, because I want them to go, atheist, I thought, oh, atheists were you know, whatever, puppy killers or whatever. And then they have this moment of dissonance in their head where they realize maybe that's not right. And so I guess it's all about how you... You know, when you say it, I don't use it as some sort of
again. It's context.
Gavel.
It matters.
At the beginning, yeah.
I mean, it matters who you're talking to and in what phrase. I mean, here's the thing. There's this, you know, there's this sort of weird conversation going on Twitter right now, where people are sharing this picture and it says, "I am an atheist. I condemn the Chapel Hill shooting. Hashtag I am not Craig." Gives a fuck. I'm a human being, and I don't condone three fucking people that are under the age of 25 or any age getting murdered over a goddamn parking spot. The fact that I don't believe in God has shit to do with that. That's the kind of stuff that I'm talking about. You are creating a subgroup inside of that by first identifying with something that you claim has no bearing, no impact on your life, that does not inform and cannot inform morality, and then you're basically using it to assert a moral position.
No,
that's
no,
what
it's
I have
not...
a problem with, because
okay,
that is absolutely contradictory.
Well, wait a minute, though. Just a second. Atheists... Okay,
and by the
so
way,
it,
and by the way, it's completely, totally ridiculous to suggest that just because I... Even if atheism were an actual ideology, the very definition in the sense that, you know, one disbelieves in a god or gods, even if that were an ideology that came with tenets and everything, okay, what someone else does with that is not my problem, not my concern, in the sense that I am not responsible for what they do. Period. Period. Same conversation
well,
that... Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's okay. I've sort of lost my train of thought now. I think...
Turned off a rant to let...
I know. I'm trying to regather my thoughts because you blasted me with this rant, and now I have no idea what I'm doing.
Sorry.
I think part of it is this sort of demonized, you know, atheist is becoming sort of a recognized, in some places in government, a recognized religious, and I'm using air quotes, because non-belief is like, it needs to be recognized as much as belief, right? And the only word they have for that is religious belief. Okay. So a lot of things are, you know, you identify as atheist, and people have misconceptions about what that means. And I think that's why you have some, and of course it doesn't mean that you believe the same things or anything, but if you happen to be part of this very large umbrella that includes all sorts of people, including secular humanists and Levian Satanists and whatever, it's still okay. I think, Jared, it may not be entirely relevant, but I don't see the harm in saying, see, there are atheists everywhere. That kind of stuff, I think, is important because if atheists are, as a group, or non-believers, are marginalized and demonized and you can't run for office and you're all assholes and whatever, then you
which
it is
bullshit.
Okay. It seems that, yes, of course it's bullshit. And so it seems to me like it's not such a terrible idea to say, hey, I'm an atheist over here and I think this is bullshit. And I would think this is bullshit even if I wasn't. But I don't mind them drawing this very long and sort of shaky line between I'm part of this very vague and not ideological umbrella, and I think this is shit. I think this is terrible. But it's weird that it's happening before we even have any idea that it has anything to do with what he didn't believe. I mean, it is a in this instance, it's very
right.
strange.
This is all speculation. I mean, we kind of talked
right.
about that at the very beginning. We said speculation, and that really? Really? Blog Talk Radio, 90 seconds? Seriously?
Yeah.
Like we were just getting started. Not 90 seconds?
Oh, come on.
You know what? Fuck it. No, I'm gonna increase it, and then we can just end it whenever you get tired of talking. Okay. Let's go like 5 more minutes at least, okay?
Okay.
I really fucking hate that sound, by the way. 90 seconds. Like, shut the fuck up. Like, thank you. Like, give me a prompt on the screen or something. Like, you don't have to, like, just shout out 90 seconds and interrupt my flow, you know?
Oh,
anyway.
Yeah, I hate it when people interrupt my flow.
Right. You obviously
saying.
Have more experience with that than I do. Wait, we are talking about that. I didn't just make a sexist statement because I misunderstood your point, right?
No, you didn't.
Did that? Okay, that didn't happen. Okay. Thank God.
No.
Wait, what did I say? Okay. Look, here's my point, all right? And... Are you serious? Darby, I think Darby just dropped for whatever reason. Obviously, God did not want her to talk anymore. Whatever. I'm going to go. So, here's my issue. let me see. Hold on. She messaged me. She said she got dumped by Skype. That's that's great. I mean, it seems like Skype definitely sort of interrupted Darby's flow. Here's the thing. I don't believe in a god or gods, but that doesn't necessarily define anything for me for a long time. I'm not sure if I actually thought that it did. You know, by the way, I told everyone that Skype interrupted your flow.
Hi.
Thank you. I actually worked on that one. I was talking and I was trying internally to think of something clever to say, and you know, it happened in under a minute. Anyway, so what I was just saying, I'm trying to continue the show. It's very hard without you here. I remember when you were gone for like 3 weeks, and sometimes I go back and I listen to those shows, and I'm like, fuck, dude, I'm all over the map. You know, like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I have nobody to bounce anything off of and interrupt. Like, I don't know what to do, you know. At one point, the creator of Republican God was actually over here. He lives down the street from me. He's actually over here, and, you know, I'm, like, talking to him because I have nobody else to talk to. And I don't know, I felt lost. Anyway, sorry. 5 minutes. Okay. I don't believe in a god or gods. Like, that has absolutely nothing to do with my morality. And for a very long time, I identified with that strongly because I was surrounded by a group of people who I thought all, or the majority of them, agreed with me and saw things the way that I did. And very, very soon into getting into that community, I realized that there were fucking people who believed in pseudoscience and people who had stupid ideas about reality and people who didn't understand economics, people who didn't understand, you know, sort of social issues or social justice issues, people who didn't understand feminism, people who didn't understand racism. Like, it runs the gamut. And the fact of the matter is that it looks exactly like every other large subgroup, you know, on the planet, where people can come from varying backgrounds. It looks exactly like every single one. No matter how much you want it to be directed, that's what it ends up looking like. And, you know, it's like, I don't want to identify myself as an atheist when I'm talking about condemning shootings.
Yeah,
I'm
no
a human
kidding.
Being.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a human being who recognizes the fact that three innocent people were killed over a fucking parking dispute, it sounds like, you know,
or whatever.
By an asshole.
It doesn't matter why.
Or a maniac.
It was horrible. Whether it was his weird, like, parking, whatever reason it was fucking terrible. It is an awful piece of news. And so all parts of me think that is terrible. So I'm with you.
Well, I'm glad you're with me. But my atheism has nothing to do with why I dislike what happened. Like, it has nothing to do with it. If another atheist did it, then I wouldn't care. I'd be willing to bet he doesn't believe in unicorns either, and that doesn't mean anything to me.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are
a ton
of
people. It doesn't matter.
There are a ton of people in the state where I live that are atheists that don't vaccinate their children.
Yeah,
I would never
them.
Say, as an atheist, it really upsets me that, no, as a member of the society that you also live in, and, I mean, as a human being, as someone with compassion, as someone who cares about, you know, immunocompromised people and tiny babies and all the rest of this, that's why I care. It has nothing to do with the fact that we're both atheists. So it's...
Right. How much sense does it make for me to get you to identify with me based on what I don't believe in rather than based on what I do?
Correct. And when you're using...
I mean, that's the whole point.
Ideology, it's not just that. It's not just that position. There's ideologies attached to it. It needs to be called what it is, not just atheism. It's going to be, you know, this group that believes that, or atheism plus that has these following tenets, or whatever. I mean, you have to say that's what it is. You can't just say it's atheism because that is not an ideology. So there's two problems here, because you have people... you have people making atheism into an ideology, which is not, and then you have atheists pretending like there are no groups within atheism that have ideologies, which is also wrong.
When there absolutely are. There absolutely fucking are. I mean, and we've seen those. Mythicism is like a perfect, I hate to always bring this up because it seems like I'm just beating the shit out of a dead horse that we've already overcome.
It's like malaria,
and that,
man. It's like malaria. We can't get rid of it. It's just everywhere.
And that pretty much all atheist conferences have someone coming or have someone speaking who promotes mythicism, which is fucking debunked, discarded, and irrelevant, you know, in all of the historical circles. And there's a conspiracy, and then there's, you know, allegations of misconduct, and, you know, and they just haven't looked at it well enough, but all these amateurs and these two sort of, one of them very credentialed, the other one very credentialed, people saying that they disagree. I mean, that's the thing. It's all the same shit. It is, in that regard, an ideology. At least it looks, smells, and acts like a fucking ideology. You know, I mean, inside of that subgroup is what I'm talking about. Not everybody who identifies as an atheist or even laughs at funny memes, funny, you know, anti-religious memes. Like, I laugh at those. You know, like laughing at the absurdity of religion sometimes. I find that funny. You know. But I mean,
yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm saying, though. Hey, by the way, you want to hear a funny joke?
Yeah. We've hit the 5 minutes.
Okay, so.
Take us out with a joke, Jared.
So, hang on. So, there's this meme. One of my employees sent this to me this morning because he knows he's been a good friend of mine for a long time. He knows how I feel about vaccines. And he sent me this image from, I saw it shared on I Fucking Love Science, but it goes, next week on The Walking Dead, Rick finds a vaccination for the zombie virus, but refuses to give it to Carl and Judith because vaccinations aren't natural. To which I responded with, they're all infected and none of them are immune, so checkmate, anti-vaxxers.
Yeah. Yeah, their natural immunity
right?
is failing. Failing.
That's right.
Terrible.
That's what I'm saying. Well, I mean, they're all, like, if you watch The Walking Dead, like, they're all infected. Oh, shit, you're not at that point yet. I just ruined that for you.
No, I already am. It's cool.
Oh, okay, you are at that. Well, I know the last time we talked about it, you told me that you just watched it and you were upset that the annoying Dale had died, so... You are probably literally the only person on the planet who actually likes Dale, by the way.
Oh,
I got to tell you that.
I am not the only person that likes Dale. Although the two other people I've talked to about the show felt the same way you did.
Dude, between Andrea, you know, she who never shuts up, and Dale, he who never stops giving bad advice, like when those two come together, like it
didn't give bad advice.
Dude, he gave bad advice.
Okay.
He gave bad advice. You know what? We should do a show on the morality of The Walking Dead, because I'd be willing to wager that the two of us would have serious disagreements about that shit.
Probably.
Did you really just say genetic contributor?
I sure did. So, anyway, I've gone over time.
We've
thank you, everybody, for listening.
Topic. Hey, we're still working on the podcast thing, guys. We really are trying to iron out all the details. That actually is going to be better for both of us. but yeah. So we're working on that, and two people who are extremely busy are trying to make that happen, trying to come to some sort of a compromise / agreement. Regardless, damn it, Jeremiah
we're
keeps messaging
still...
me, and he's he's ruining my concentration. He keeps saying, she keeps typing things to me like, did you just say flow? You know, he told me that I wrecked your concentration, which is something that I should be happy about. You know, so, anyway, So yeah, we will be on probably next Thursday. We will be on, and then hopefully by the beginning of March, we will have a decision on the podcast, and we will be releasing it weekly. And we're going to try to make the Facebook page a bit more frequented, and we're going to start adding more content, and we're talking about blogs and all kinds of fun stuff. So, thank you for listening. You've been listening to Logicast with your host Jared Smith and Darby Macy. We are on every Thursday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Darby, it is always
Jared.
A pleasure. Hey, let's do Walking Dead morality next week. I think that would be an awesome show.
All right, we'll talk.
All right, holla.
Good night.
Bye.
The light. What do you know?
woman of Bambini.
What do you know?
Cause they're hip to the moon and hip to the light.
What do you know?
And hip with the ass, cause you ain't got a penny.
What do you know?
Don't you know about the ways on the understanding?